Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I am a CPA, CFP professional in AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and podcasts of prior shows are also available there under local programming, Your Financial Choices. Today is November 13th, 2019. The markets were mixed today with the Dow closing up at 27,783. And last week's close was 27,492. So that was about a 1% increase since last week. The NASDAQ was down since yesterday at 84,82, but up from last week, which was 84.10. The S&P was up from yesterday at 3,094 and also up from last week, 3,076. A listener had suggested that we kind of compare where the markets were over the prior week. And I thought that was really a good idea because it's interesting how we will react on a day-to-day basis. But when you look in the grand scheme of things over time, you have a better measure probably of how the markets will be doing. So thank you for that suggestion. Our topic tonight is retirement planning, options, and ages. And for those folks who were tuning in thinking we were going to have a Medicare options topic this evening, I apologize. There was a rescheduling of that. So we are talking about retirement planning, options, and ages tonight. We are live. We will take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I will do my best to answer them. The number is 610-758-8810. Again, that's 610-758-8810. If you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can just give your question to Lori. She'll write it down and bring it in to me. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. So when I say the topic is retirement planning, options, and ages, I thought what we could do is talk a little bit about what does retirement planning mean, what kind of different retirement accounts one might have, and understand what your options are around those a little bit, and also sources of income in retirement, and important ages if we have time to get to that. So when we talk about retirement planning, I would say, you know, the best time to think about retirement planning is not when you're ready to retire. The best time to think about retirement planning is as soon as you start working. All right. So the day you get that first job, that's the day you want to start thinking about retirement planning. Not in a negative way. It's in a powerful way. It's that you're taking control of your destiny, and it can bring back dividends, to coin a phrase, in many, many ways. The sooner you start thinking about retirement planning, the more likely you are to focus on what you have and what you're growing and building up savings, and that could benefit you over time, even pre-retirement if needed. But retirement planning also has a lot of impact on the decisions that you're making today. So it doesn't mean that you say retirement is 40 years from now and I'll think about that then. You can make really, really good decisions today for yourself, whether you're 20 years old, or if you're 16 with your first job, or 20 years old, 30, 40, if you haven't started thinking about your retirement planning yet, now is the time. It's always better to start earlier than later. We talk about that with the power of compounding, that you make your money work for you so that you don't have to work as long. So think about that. You start saving some of that money earlier, you get that working for you, and while you're at your job, your investments are over there somewhere else working for you as well. So it's powerful synergy. So retirement planning. What am I talking about now? What do I mean when you're 16 or when you're 20? Any kind of savings is, can be powerful. So people will talk about saving 10% of your pay for your future. Sometimes people will talk about saving 10% for donating, for philanthropy. Sometimes people will save for, emergency reserves, or they'll save for a special purchase. Well, retirement planning is that special event that's going to happen in your future. But we can be smart about it if we understand our retirement options. So when we are young, maybe starting our first job, maybe we need every penny we have because maybe our parents don't help us out. Maybe we have to pay for our gas in our car or our insurance. Maybe we have to pay for our own education, our college education. It's still always a good idea to save as well. You hear people say, pay yourself first. Well, in reality, sometimes we don't even have a penny to pay ourselves because we're having to keep the lights on or pay for, food, that kind of thing. So you have to also understand that we do go through different phases in our life, but at such time that we can squirrel away a little bit of money, sometimes that money not only can compound for us, but we can get some free benefits. And what do I mean by that? Certain employer plans may provide an incentive to employees to contribute to their retirement, and they may give you what's called an employer match when you put money into a retirement plan. So I'm going to kind of go over some of these things tonight. So let's first talk of some of the basic retirement plans that might apply to people who might not otherwise have an employer plan available to them through their job. Not every employer provides an employer plan. Many of us who've worked for bigger companies might say, we have a 401k or we have a 403b, and that's simply the Internal Revenue Code section that governs those type of employer plans. That's where those numbers come from. So the 401k plan, 403b plan are the typical retirement plans we think of for big companies. Sometimes smaller companies will have a retirement plan, maybe called a simple IRA or a SEP IRA. But there are some employers who don't have an employer plan at all. Maybe they really are just a small mom and pop shop, and they don't have a retirement plan because maybe they don't feel they can afford to pay for the administration of it. Maybe they can't afford to put in an employer match or have that extra cost of running an employer plan. So they might not offer one. If you don't have an employer plan offered, there is something available to you called an individual retirement account, an IRA, and there is also a Roth IRA. So the individual retirement account is something that we can fund if we don't otherwise have an employer plan, or if the employer plan we have is great, but our income is also within a certain threshold that the IRS allows us to do both an employer plan and an individual retirement account. So there's different thresholds for that. But with doing an individual retirement account, what that means is you put some money in to that account based on certain thresholds that the IRS allows, depending on what year it is. So in 2019, it was $6,000. And if you're over 50, it was $1,000. But you have to have at least that much in earned income as well. And if you do a regular IRA, that's on a pre-tax basis. You get a deduction for it on your tax return, helps lower your taxes, and it's not really costing you that whole amount of $6,000 or $7,000 because you're getting that tax break. And that's you know, is very powerful when you're investing that bigger amount for a longer period of time. We're at our first break, and when we come back, I'll talk about when you might not want to do a traditional IRA, when a Roth IRA might make more sense, and times where you may not be able to do a traditional IRA. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and it may be tax deductible. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices, and we are talking about retirement planning, options, and ages. And retirement planning, as I mentioned at the top of the show, should basically start as soon as you start working. It's much more powerful that way. So we talked a little bit about if you don't have an employer plan, that there is a plan called an individual retirement account, and you can contribute to an individual retirement account to the extent you have earned income. And sometimes folks would like to do that, not only just to save for their retirement, but it also could give them an income tax deduction. There may be times when you're in a very low tax bracket, or maybe you're very young and you don't even have taxable income after your deduction. Maybe you're making, you know, $6,000 and you wouldn't need to use the traditional IRA and get a deduction. You could use the Roth IRA. The Roth IRA, let me go back to the regular IRA. You're getting the tax deduction today, and then as it grows and you eventually take the money out when you retire, you're going to pay income tax on it when you retire. So that's the traditional IRA. You get the tax deduction today. Usually you want that when you're in a higher tax bracket. That's when we like those tax deductions. But when we eventually retire, quite often we're in a lower tax bracket, then you would take the money out of your retirement account for your cash flow needs or when you hit required minimum distribution age, and then it would be taxable. So the idea is you want a tax deduction when you're in a higher tax bracket, and then take the distribution when you're in a lower tax bracket. But maybe you don't need that tax deduction today. So a Roth IRA is a great option. A Roth IRA, you don't get the deduction today. You fund it with after-tax dollars. And then it grows. And when you eventually reach age 59 and a half, the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half, you can take out distributions from the Roth IRA and not pay any income tax on it. It's tax-free earnings and growth as long as it's been the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half. So Roths are a great option as well. Occasionally what we'll have is we might have two spouses. One might work and have an employer plan at work, and maybe the other spouse either doesn't have an employer plan or the other spouse doesn't work at all. And in that case, you might say, hey, my non-working spouse, the one who's working at home, working their tail off at home, not out in the job world, might they still be able to do a retirement account even if they're not working? Well, there are circumstances where a non-working spouse or a spouse who works but maybe doesn't have an employer plan could fund an IRA. So we call that a spousal IRA if you don't have earnings. If the non-working spouse does not have earnings, then you can do a spousal IRA contribution based on your working spouse's income. So this is also part of that retirement planning. So a lot of people don't think of this. If you have two spouses, one is working and the other one is not, you might not be even having a retirement account for that non-working spouse on your radar. The only thing is there are some limitations for that. And let me see if I can find them quickly. And this would be based on the prior year. 2018. For example, if you're married filing joint, you could still do a 401k contribution and a traditional IRA deduction if your income's married filing joint under $101,000, or if you're single under $63,000, and then there's phase out ranges. But here's the thing, if you're married, that phase out doesn't come into play until much higher income. So if you're married filing joint and one spouse is working and is covered by an employer retirement plan, the other spouse, either the non-covered spouse, I'll call it the non-covered spouse, so either they're not working or they don't have an employer plan, they could still fund an IRA if the married filing joint income is less than $189,000. This is 2018 numbers. There's a phase out to 199. If the adjusted gross income is more than that, then that non-covered spouse can't do this IRA that I'm talking about. So when we talk about retirement planning, you want to understand what your options are. And sometimes it's asking those questions that you don't know to ask, because you might just think, oh, retirement plans are through work. And that's not necessarily the case. Or you might think retirement plans are for people who are working. Well, as I've just said, a non-covered spouse and even a non-working spouse may still have the option to fund an IRA if you're within these income ranges. And again, that you have to have earned income to be able to fund a retirement account. So that's a given. So these are really important retirement planning options to understand, because you can build up your retirement nest, you know, much quicker. Now, let's say you don't need the tax deduction. As I mentioned, sometimes we like that tax deduction. Well, guess what? That non-covered spouse or non-working spouse could still do a Roth IRA based on the earned income of the working spouse. Now, the IRA contributions are not as high as the 401k contribution. So that's the only little hold up for this kind of retirement planning. And that's why employer plans are so much more attractive than the IRAs, because the employer plans, the 401ks and the 403bs, the amount that we can contribute to the retirement accounts are so much higher. So for example, in 2019, the amounts for an employee to contribute to a 401k or a 403b were $19,000. And in 2020, that's going up to $19,500. And there's also catch-up contributions. So if you're over age 50, you can do an additional $6,000 in 2019 and an additional $6,500 in 2020. So let's break those numbers down. In 2019, I have $19,000. And if I'm over 50, I can do another $6,000. That tells me in 2019, I could put $25,000 into my 401k. Guess what, people? We're at what, November 13th? If you haven't fully funded your 401k, or you didn't realize this catch-up contribution was available, you still have a month. Maybe you could get some extra money in there if you need it and you need the tax deduction. That's a way to shelter some of your income from taxes today, in the hopes that in the future, when you retire, you're in a lower tax bracket, you let that money grow. And then when you retire, you take it out when you're possibly in a lower tax bracket. Now, some people may think, I think we're in the lowest tax brackets we'll ever be in, and I only think they're going to go higher and higher. Well, that's when you might want to step back and say, maybe we don't want to fully fund our 401k, or maybe we should explore the option of a Roth feature in our 401k if our employer provides a Roth feature, meaning after-tax contributions to your 401k. That is one way to really sock away a lot of money. If you think you're going to be in a lower tax bracket today and a higher tax bracket in the future, then that is something you might want to think about, plugging into that Roth feature. So IRAs, traditional IRA, small deduction, $6,000 in 2019, $1,000 catch up if you're over 50, for a total of $7,000 potential in 2019. I think that's going to go up a little bit maybe in 2020. I'd have to confirm that. And then, or that's traditional IRA, or you can do Roth IRA. And then keep in mind that a non-covered spouse may be able to qualify for a retirement account in this way using a traditional IRA or the Roth IRA. So retirement planning, it's planning today for our future, and there may be times when you might have to tap some of that retirement account. And won't you be happy if you started saving? It's always a last place I'd want to go for it. But if you keep in mind that this could be a way that you save, and it's an incentive to save, knowing that you're doing something. Folks, if you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1 offers many choices and real voices. Folk music, from folk classics to the Gaelic traditions of the British Isles, to bluegrass and old-time music of Appalachia, to the modern-day singer-songwriters telling the story of today's world. You'll find it all here on WDIY. Listen and enjoy the wide variety of folk music every weekday evening, 7 to 9 p.m., just after NPR News headlines, and Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. on 88.1 WDIY and streaming at WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices right here on WDIY.org. We are talking about retirement planning, options, and ages, and just kind of going over a few of the features of IRAs and Roths and 401ks, very similar 403bs, and this Roth feature that was introduced probably, I think, back in 2006, but it took a lot of years before employers started adopting that as part of their plan documents for their 401ks, to offer to their employees the option of putting money into their 401ks on a after-tax basis. They call it like a designated Roth, so that's a Roth feature in the 401k, and you can do those higher amounts. As I mentioned, on the pre-tax basis was the $19,000 for 2019 and $6,000 catch-up. That is also available on the Roth side within a 401k, all right? So the difference here between what people might have traditionally thought after-tax contributions in a 401k were is the Roth 401k is on an after-tax basis, but the amounts that you put into the 401k after-tax under a Roth plan, Roth 401k, the earnings on that is also going to grow tax-free. So if I put in $19,000 into my Roth 401k and it grows to $25,000 in my Roth 401k, and now I retire and I want to take that money out or roll that money out over to a Roth IRA, that all comes out tax-free. Back in the day when plans were first started, people could put money in pre-tax. This was before Roths, you know, kind of existed and before this Roth 401k feature was available. Employees may have been allowed in a plan to put in the pre-tax dollars, or they could have put in after-tax dollars. The difference with that kind of contribution, or if you currently have an employer plan that does not allow the Roth feature, if you're putting in money on an after-tax basis into your current 401k, not using the Roth feature, the earnings on that after-tax money are going to be taxable as ordinary income. The only money you're going to be able to get back out of that plan are the tax-free would be the after-tax contributions, not the earnings. There's a difference. So this is why you have to be careful when you're looking at your retirement planning. What kind of options do you have available in your plan? And what kind of options are you actually choosing? You have to be very careful and pay attention so that you know what the options are that are available and what you have selected. You do not want to mess those up. If you have a Roth feature in your plan and you think you want to do, you're in a low tax bracket and you want to do those Roth 401k contributions, make sure that's what you're checking. Now, occasionally, we will see employer plans that say you can max your 401k and maybe do it on a pre-tax basis, but they will also let you do additional amounts on an after-tax basis. So maybe you max out your the IRS limits of, let's say I'm over 50 and it's $25,000 and I've maxed that out. That employer plan may allow you to do additional amounts on an after-tax basis. If you have tons of cash flow and you don't need money, that is an option for you. And what that allows you to do is when you eventually retire, that after-tax money can come out and get rolled over to a Roth IRA where you can continue to invest it on an income tax-free basis, as long as you make take eventual distributions under the rules. Okay, so lots to think about there from a retirement planning perspective while we're working. One of the most important things you have to pay attention to in your retirement planning years, again, way before you retire, way before you're thinking about retiring, is when an employer offers a match. When you make a contribution, the employer might say, hey, if you do 6%, I'll put in 3%. They might say, if you put in 5%, I'll put in 2%. If you put in 6%, I'll put in 2%. It could be whatever percentages. You want to read the summary plan document to understand what those options are. But if the employer is going to give matching, you definitely want to take advantage of that. That is free money. Someone told me this when I was probably 25, 26. I worked at the University of Michigan, and they matched 2 to 1. And I said, well, I don't have any money, and I didn't contribute. This was before I was a financial advisor. We were students. We had student debt, and, you know, my husband was in school. I was working two jobs. It was a little tough, but that really, really would have made sense if I could have squeaked out a little bit of money to get a 2-for-1 match. I really should have paid attention to that. And how many young people today can't grasp that? It's you know, like in the future, and it's beyond, you know, your imagination almost. So we could sit down and run numbers so that you could see the power of that and the power of compounding on top of it. So the employer match, very important when we're talking about retirement planning. Some other things to pay attention to as we're going through our work life, especially for people who work at some of these corporations that offer employer stock. Sometimes they offer it as the match. So the employer match comes into the 401k as employer stock. Sometimes it could be a separate program called an employer stock ownership plan, ESOP. When you have employer stock within 401k, very, very important to pay attention to that. Number one, because you want to be careful of, you know, over concentration because it's a company you're working for, you have employer stock in your plan. But at the same time, there's some tax benefits to employer stock in a retirement plan. So as you're kind of going through your work life, pay attention to the the going concern of the company, its growth projections, how you feel the company's doing. Is it a good buy? Is it a good hold? Is it something you want to hang on to? Because what happens with employer stock when it gets matched into a plan, or the employer, you know, maybe puts it in as profit sharing or something, they calculate the value of that the day they put it in, and that's called its cost basis. And let's say you work for that company for 30 years and they've put in stock for you every single year for 30 years. Well, can you imagine the stock price from 30 years ago to today, depending on what kind of company it is? You might have a very low cost basis and the fair market value of that stock could be very high today. And the difference between that cost basis and the fair market value is called net unrealized appreciation, NUA. You need to know if you have that in your employer plan, and you need to ask what the cost basis is, especially as you get closer to retirement, because there is a huge tax planning opportunity there for you to get money out of the 401k at possibly lower taxes, because you can withdraw it and only pay taxes on the cost basis. But you have to do it the right way. It has to be done in a lump sum distribution, and there's some, you know, you got to make sure you're doing things right. So that is just an awareness point for people who have employer stock in their 401k. ask for the cost basis from the custodian so you know how to do your retirement planning. Folks, we are at the halfway point. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY 88.1. It's now 6:30. Your current temperature in Lehigh Valley is 29. Tonight is going to get low around 19 degrees. And for your Thursday, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 43. Thursday night, it's going to be low around 28. Friday is going to be sunny with a high near 48. And Friday night, mostly clear with a low around 25. Saturday is going to be sunny with a high near 37. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a low around 22. For Sunday, it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 41. And Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 33. Now back to your financial choices with Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Shandi. Welcome back, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. You can talk live on air with me, or if you're not comfortable talking live on air, you can give your question to Lori C. She'll write it down and bring it into the studio. So again, that number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about retirement planning, options, and ages. And we're just throwing out some ideas here tonight. I obviously can't cover everything because I could do a whole show just on 401ks. So just kind of getting an idea of what retirement planning is and that it's not just when you're ready to retire. It's about getting ready for retirement your whole life. A few other notes I just wanted to mention. I was talking about an employer match. You'll want to be careful with this a little bit because sometimes if the there's certain plans that are called safe harbor plans and the employer puts in, like, let's say 3% of your salary, regardless of whether you do or not. That's great. Those have low administration cost, and it's nice because even employees who can't afford to put money into their retirement plan are at least getting something. So that's called a safe harbor plan. But when you have an employer match, sometimes what happens is some employees might say, you know what, I get my big bonus in the first quarter. I'm going to just super fund, front load my retirement plan, get it funded right up front, and, you know, put it all in the first quarter. Well, then you're not getting that match every month because sometimes the employer is only going to match, let's say, you know, 2% or 3% of your pay for that month if you put money in. So if you do it in the first 3 months and then don't do it in the last 10 months, you're not going to get that match for the last 9 months. So you want to be very careful of that. We have seen where people lose the match because they front loaded their 401k contribution and did not get the employer match. So watch out for that. You know, there are a number of other retirement plans. There are other kind of retirement strategies you can use in retirement planning. Sometimes when folks are really highly compensated, they might be looking for ways to tax shelter some of their income. They may have deferred compensation plans available to them. Sometimes executives might have supplemental executive retirement plans. And so a lot of other different kinds of retirement plans that might be available for people. And, you know, you want to make sure you understand them. There would probably be a plan document for all of those. You have to be careful because sometimes those deferred comp plans and the supplemental executive retirement plans, they allow you to make the investment decision sometimes. And if that is the case, you want to make sure you're reviewing that because the default investment option might be cash, and that kind of taints the whole point of a deferring income, and you want it to grow for you. So you kind of want to make sure you understand all of your options. We have a caller call in. This is off air, and he's Greg. Hi, Greg, from Bethlehem, and he has employer Roth 401k plan, and he said, are the employer match and earnings on that match taxable at distribution? What happens, Greg, it's a great question because I didn't mention that. If you put money into the Roth 401k, Your contribution to that is on an after-tax basis, and the earnings on that piece will grow tax-free. Great feature. Great, great feature. Because the employer match is not going to grow tax-free. So your contribution to it and your earnings on your contribution will grow tax-free, but the employer match will always come back in as taxable. And the earnings on the employer match would be taxable as well. So that is a great question. I'm glad you asked it. That was perfect timing because I had meant to say that and missed saying it. So that's perfect. Now, it's the same thing when on the regular pre-tax 401k, that all comes out taxable because we got it a tax deduction up front. The earnings are taxable. Our contributions are taxable. The employer match is taxable. So the employer match basically is always going to be taxable. That's why sometimes the administration of these plans does cost a little money because the third party administrator or the custodian or trustee of these plans has to keep track of all of this. And they have to keep track of the Roth feature, the employee's contribution, and the employee's earnings on that. All right. So thank you, Greg. I love that question. So let's talk a little bit about when we talk about retirement planning, we also want to make sure that we're understanding what kind of income streams we can expect in our retirement. So understand that there is still a whole slew of people out there who are probably getting ready to retire at any time that still have pensions. But there is way, way, way more people out there that are working and starting out in their life, and they don't even know what a pension is because they will never get a pension. So how we save and plan for our retirement is going to look very different for these two groups of people. Because one group of people is going to can rely on maybe a pension and Social Security, and that is fixed income that they can kind of count on each month to come to them. And they may only need their investments or their other retirement savings to supplement that income stream. Whereas we're going to have a whole group of people who won't have a pension, will hopefully have Social Security, and will have to rely on what they've saved in their retirement accounts. So it's going to be a very different scenario for those people. So we are going to have to save more. In the past, you know, people would say you should save 10%. I'm hearing numbers like 15% now. And if you can save that much, that's great. The more you can save, the better. And one of the ways to help you save more is to spend less. So think about that. The best way to save more is to spend less. Sounds simple, but it's much harder than people, you know, as we all know. It's harder than you think. So we've got to watch what we're spending. So what to do when you retire or when you're thinking about retiring? I think it's really important that you track these things a little bit, that you don't lose track of what you have, that you know if you have a 401k, do you have a Roth 401k, do you have after-tax dollars in your retirement account, do you have employer stock in your retirement account, do you have a loan on your retirement account? Because if you have a loan on your retirement account, boy, if you separate from service, that could really come back to bite you. So, you know, if you were kind of in a pinch, had to take a loan, you really want to try to get that paid down as quickly as you can. Or when you go to retire, if you have a loan and you tell them you can't pay for it, they're going to pay it back. They're going to treat it as a distribution. If you're under age 59 and a half, and then there's some caveats to that, but let's pretend normal rules apply. You're under age 59 and a half and you terminate employment and you had a loan on your 401k, they're going to treat that like a distribution. You're going to have income tax on the distribution and a 10% penalty. So you have to understand what you have, what kind of retirement accounts, what are your options, and then what do you do with them? So now let's pretend we're getting ready for retirement. We feel like we've got a number of sources coming in. We'll talk about income sources in a minute. You want to know, what do I do with this retirement account? You may keep it at the employer. You may keep it with the custodian where you were working. Some employers might cash that out automatically or send you a check if it's too small. Sometimes people like the 401k options they had at the former employer. Maybe it doesn't cost them very much. They're comfortable with the platform and it's good. But sometimes you want more control over it. Maybe they don't have as many investment options as you can get in the big scheme of things. Maybe you want to manage it yourself, work with an advisor to manage it. You can roll over a 401k plan or a 403 plan to a self-directed rollover IRA, meaning it's not through the employer anymore. It now becomes an IRA rollover, and you can pick the custodian or the financial advisor you want to work with and, you know, pick the investment allocation and investments that are going to work for you and for your needs and your risk tolerance and all of that. But you have to understand there's a certain way to do things. So if it's in a 401k, you would, you know, contact the employer or the number on your statement and you say, you know, I want to make a distribution, but you have to know where you're going with it because you don't really want to check. You'd rather do a trustee to trustee transfer. And how you do that is you'd have to tell that former employer or the custodian that you want it to go to ABC custodian at the new place where you're going to do business, the new custodian. In that way, they're not cutting the check to you personally, and it reduces the chances of you mistakenly wiping out your 401k and paying taxes on it, because you have to do these trustee to trustee transfers or rollovers within a certain period of time. If you do it as a rollover and a check comes to you and it's made out to you personally, you have 60 days to get it into an IRA to avoid taxes. So the best way to do it is a trustee to trustee transfer, where you actually don't take ownership of the check. They write the check out payable to the new custodian for the benefit of you, old participant. All right. So be careful of rollovers. Be careful of the outstanding loans. Understand if you have after-tax dollars that what you could do is set up two accounts. You could set up a rollover IRA and you could set up a Roth IRA, and the after-tax amounts in your 401k can go roll over into that Roth. If you have a Roth 401k, that can roll over to the Roth. So you want to make sure you understand what after-tax dollars are in your 401k plan or 403b plan, and if there's any Roth monies. Employer stock, I already mentioned, that also has to be carefully handled. It may not benefit you to take the employer stock out. But if you worked for a company for a long time and you have employer stock in your plan, chances are that could be a really good option for you. You don't have to do it all. You could do part of it. So let's pretend the cost basis on the employer stock is, you know, $150,000 and the fair market value is of it's $500,000. Well, you might not want to put a $150,000 taxable event on your tax return, but maybe you could trim off some of the employer stock and take some of it out, maybe not all of it. You have options with that. Some people might think you have to do it all. You don't have to do it all. You can do some of it. And I've already talked about 60-day rollovers. So careful of the retirement plans, understand what they are. Know what your sources of income are in retirement. So I mentioned you might have a pension. Some people have pensions available to them, but they might be given the option to take a lump sum. So you have to sit and evaluate whether it makes sense for you and your personal circumstances, because it's different for everyone, whether or not it makes sense for you to elect to take the pension, which is a monthly amount of fixed income that you can count on, and that sounds very attractive, or the lump sum, which means you don't get the pension. You take a lump sum amount, which is the present value of that future stream of money. You take that lump sum and you invest it yourself. So now it's on you. It's your responsibility. So there's, you know, a whole list of questions you need to go through to decide what's better for you. It could depend on cash flow. It could depend on your needs of your heirs. It could depend on your risk tolerance, your life expectancy. So that monthly pension amount, if you elect a single life and you die the next day, poof, it's gone. That's the very scariest for me. There may be times where you could do a term certain. Maybe you say over my life for at least 10 years, But if you're in 1 month left in that 10-year and then you die, that survivor only gets one more month of payment. So that's the only thing with that. You could do a joint and survivor option if you have a spouse where maybe they are going to get 100% of your benefit if you die, or 50%, 75%. So many different options. You want to make sure you evaluate them. And if you were to take this lump sum amount in lieu of the pension, are you going to do better than the pension could have paid you? Are you going to do better with it? It depends. And you want to run numbers and you want to understand what the options are. Folks, we're at our last break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY offers many choices and real voices.
This is Rosalie.
And Steve.
Join us and other hosts each Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for Swing Sunday, a great mix of swing, big band, and classic vocals.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. And just want to mention that podcasts of prior shows are also available at wdiy.org. For folks outside our listening area, you can always stream live and let your friends know as well. It's a nice feature. But podcasts are also available under local programming, Your Financial Choices, and you can scroll through to your heart's content, looking for topics that may be of interest to you. So we really appreciate that WDIY has that available, and it's also available on NPR.org as well. I can't talk about retirement planning without talking a little bit about Social Security. And again, we could have a whole show just on Social Security. But I want to mention that the cost of living adjustment on Social Security for 2020 is 1.6%. That starts in January. And so we're not always talking about huge increases in Social Security. It's really nice that they have a cost of living adjustment. That's something you don't always get, like on a pension. Sometimes the pension will be fixed and that's not going up. So with inflation, if you live into your retirement years for 20 years, that pension that paid you 20 years ago is not this, you know, buying the same things 20 years later. So cost of living adjustment, it's really nice that on Social Security that's there. But it's not always, you know, going to be a ton. It's a cost of living adjustment. And how that is calculated is a little complicated. But medical cost, I think I just had seen an article that said medical cost had increased like 4.44%. So in our retirement years, if we're getting older and we have more, you know, medical needs, if our medical needs are going up 4.4% and our Social Security is only going up 1.6%, while it's nice, may not cover everything. That's why it's so important to save and have some investments and some retirement accounts on the side that will help grow and hopefully keep up with inflation and help cover these costs that you'll have in your retirement years. So that you kind of got to pay attention to the fixed income cash flow that's coming in as well as your investments. The other thing I wanted to mention about Social Security and why that's important in retirement planning is so many people think, well, I can collect Social Security at 62. You do have to recognize that there is a significant discount if you collect it early. So the discount is about 25% of your full retirement age benefit. That is if you are someone who was, what's the year? I don't remember now. If your full retirement age was 66, that's the discount. But here's the piece that I think people don't realize. If for many of us, I think it was born after 1960, maybe our full retirement age is 67. So if we collect at age 62, it's more like a 30% discount. So keep that in mind. People who have a full retirement age greater than 66 we have a bigger discount if we collect at 62. All right, so full retirement age people at 66, if they collect at 62, it was a 25% discount, basically a trim, a hair trim on that. At 63, it's about a 20% discount. At 64, it's 13.3%, and at 65, it's 6.7%. So it's not if you collect before full retirement age that it's a 25% discount. It's only if you collect at 62, and then it kind of goes down. But if your full retirement age is older than age 66, it could be up to 30% discount. So that's pretty hefty. You have to know these things when you're doing your retirement planning and think. The other thing that many people don't realize is when you're getting your Social Security illustration, it's making some assumptions about your work life. So if it says that your Social Security benefit at full retirement age is, you know, $2,400, and you look at the earnings amount on the other page that shows the earning amounts, it's assuming, if at age 66, it's $2,400, and let's say you're only age 58, it's assuming that you're going to continue making those kinds of earnings through age 66 to come up with that number. If you say, well, you know, I'm going to get $2,400 at age 66, so I'm going to retire now at age 58, because that sounds pretty good to me. You know, I did my planning. That sounds good. Well, your benefit might not be $2,400 then, because they assumed you were going to continue to work through age 66, which would have been an extra 8 years. So that's not going to be your benefit. You have to make sure you understand how all of this works. If you stop working, you know, Social Security looks at your highest 35 years, and if 8 of those are just disappeared because you retired early, then that's not going to be the same benefit that they've illustrated. The other thing you want to understand is the coordination of, you know, kind of spousal benefits and who's filing when and who can file on, you know, which spouse. So just know that that is something that has to be reviewed. Review your Social Security options when you're doing your retirement planning. Don't make assumptions about it. Make sure you're talking to the right people. As far as Social Security goes, when you turn 65, you know, they'll start taking, if you don't have other qualified coverage and you start on Medicare, they're going to take your Medicare premium out of your Social Security. Part of retirement planning is also looking at your income on your tax return in those planning in those retirement years, because if your income gets too high, you may pay more in Medicare. So that's part of retirement planning as well, kind of projecting what your income is going to look like on your tax return in your retirement years. It used to be the general rule, or I don't know if it's the general rule, when I first started in the business many years ago, the idea was people retire and they're in lower tax brackets, but that is not always the case, especially when you have maybe two spouses who are both getting pensions and then you both get Social Security and then you both have retirement accounts and you start taking required minimum distributions out. You could end up being in a higher tax bracket than you ever imagined. So you want to make sure that you're kind of doing your projections and know what you're going to be faced with. And that includes medical costs. As I mentioned earlier, those go up. Pay attention to what's available for you. And one way to kind of lock in higher Social Security is to wait longer. You could also wait till age 70 and you get like an 8% premium on your Social Security benefit. That could work for you if you have other resources and other cash flow available. But what's nice about that, especially in the world of not having pensions available anymore, that is one way to kind of secure a higher fixed income, something that you know you could count on. It really makes great sense if you have longevity in your family. Now, granted, we can't predict when someone's going to die or not, but if you have longevity and you know everyone's been very healthy and you continue to be healthy and everyone lives to 90, boy, waiting till 70, you're really maximizing your benefit, and that's could be for a very long time. And if you pass away and you have a surviving spouse, they step into that higher benefit. So that's pretty nice. So understand your cash flow needs in retirement and how you're going to meet them through a combination of your retirement accounts, maybe your investment accounts, because maybe you don't need to fund all of your cash needs through your retirement account. Hopefully you have some money either in the bank or invested on the side in a non-retirement account. And it's a great way to give you options in your retirement years of where you're going to pull money so as not to have a huge tax hit. It's kind of like maybe a combination of a number of places you could get the money. So that's the fun part of making sure you kind of have thought this through and giving yourself lots of options. Let me just quickly go over some ages that might be important. I mentioned the catch-up contributions that you can do. I think it's over age 50. I'm telling you, I don't know why in my head I'm getting confused with 50 and 55. Let me see if I have something. When you're 50 or older, because as I get older, I try to deny all these ages. When you're 50 or older, you can do these catch-up contributions, as I mentioned, 401k. You can do an extra $6,000 in 2019 and an extra $6,500 in 2020. So folks, if you put in a fixed dollar amount on your 2019 401k contributions, you can up those if your cash flow can handle it for 2021 and get that extra deduction. Age 55 is an important age. If you terminate from employment at age 55, that's an exception to the 10% penalty on an early withdrawal from a 401k. Does not apply to IRAs. Does not apply to IRAs. That exception to the 10% penalty, if you terminate employment, if you turn 55 by the end of the year and you terminated earlier in the year and you need money out of a 401k, that's an exception to the 10% penalty. You still have income tax, but you avoid the 10% penalty. So that is something I like to really put in my back pocket, especially if someone is terminated from employment and maybe they decide to go get another job, and we're not sure that other job's going to work out. I like them to keep their 401k at their former employer in case we have to tap it. If they roll it over to an IRA, thinking, oh, well, I got this other job, I can roll that over to an IRA, that exemption to that penalty is gone. Once you roll it over to an IRA, that exemption to that penalty is gone. There are other options if people do need to tap money from an IRA that to avoid a 10% penalty on early distribution. There's something called a 72T election. I haven't had to do one in a long time. It's funny. For a while, it seemed like a number of people were doing them, probably back when we had the crash. I don't remember. 72T calculation, again, an IRS code section that says this is an exception to a 10% penalty of early withdrawal on an IRA if you do it out over substantially equal periodic distribution. So, and it's the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half that you have to do it. So once you start it, you have to keep going. 5 years, the longer of 5 years or age 59 and a half. It's all coming back to me as I'm sitting here pulling it out of my brain. So that's one that, you can't mess up, because if you screw it up and you need more money or you forgot to do it, the IRS will say, you know what, then you messed it up and we're going to now charge the 10% penalty on all the amounts you took out. So be careful of that one. Age 59 and a half, that is when you're free of that early withdrawal penalty. If you have to take money out of your retirement account, the IRS isn't going to penalize you at age 59 and a half. Not a day sooner, though. So you have to be age 59 and a half. Another important date, as I'm coming up at the end of the show here, is 70 and a half for required minimum distributions. For people who are retired, have these retirement accounts, the IRS says that eventually it has to come out, and it has to come out starting at age 70 and a half. And there's some little rules around that. There are also required minimum distributions for people who inherit retirement accounts. And that starts the year after the year of death of the person you inherited from. And it's over your life expectancy if you're the primary beneficiary. All right. Well, folks, we are at our last minute. I just want to tell you, if you want to listen to any podcast of prior shows, that is available at wdiy.org. We talk about a lot of different things here. If you have any ideas, you're welcome to share those with us through the website, yourfinancialchoices.com. Always looking for ideas of topics to talk about and that you're interested in hearing about. So thank you, listeners. Thank you, Greg, for calling in with your question. I really appreciated that. Thank you, Shandi, for being here, and Lori for being here and taking the questions. Next week, I'm going to have the topic is holiday discussions. Holiday discussions, family and money. What a great time to talk about money at the holidays. So family and money, holiday discussions, and why it's so important. And how do you approach that? How do you broach those subjects with family members? Very important. Coming up next, we have Norm Williams filling in for Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices, and have a great week.